Yes, You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
And I just love, you know, the science of it all, the sort of like STEM of it all, the sort of booster engines, and like we're going to be up near the stars and like space travel and things. And, you know, just as like a woman, I feel like, you know
what?
Like
I am glad. I'm glad and also did their astronomy. Little trip, so I don't have to talk about it anymore.
Oh, and that joke's on you, because if you think that this will not be a reoccurring mention.
Yeah. No. Blue Origin, they did it. What is it called? The girls' trip? The slay all day? Or
slay the space race? I don't know.
They called it, they named their mission.
Breaking the glass ceiling?
Making space. The future is female.
It's a woman's world, and we're lucky to be living in it.
It was a dumb name. What was it?
Okay, I'm Googling name of blue space woman's rocket trip. Let's see. What is it
called?
They
like did a fist bump to it. They're like, yes.
What was their name?
Shake down the patriarchy. Glass ceilings be gone.
I feel like it's something with glass ceiling, no?
Blue Origin.
What is the name of the Blue Origin blast? This isn't, they have bad SEO because I'm not finding it. Wait, okay. Blue Origin woman space. Name, man, woman, TV, car, Covfefe. What was it?
I don't know. I saw it in a dumb.
Yeah, no. So did video. I. But now I'm like, what? The main thing we need to talk about is the
what a wonderful world
is the Gayle King bell ringing. I've watched that about 15 times. Her just looking so miserable to be there. Katy Perry and everybody else really ringing the crap out of that bell, and her just being like,
she was going to abandon ship so fast. I wish it was because she realized how dumb and embarrassing the whole thing was, but I think she just had anxiety about, you know,
dying.
Space travel.
It was giving submersible.
Yeah.
A bit, I will say.
Is this your first space launch you watched that you saw?
Oh, I didn't watch this. You think I watched this? No.
Well, you saw the pieces. You saw the ship. I'm saying, is this your first look at an actual nowadays, you know, Uber to the sky?
Oh, situation. One of these? Yes. I'm like, yeah. I definitely watched the things growing up, you know, the like actual NASA missions to like real places. But no, I have not paid any attention to these, celebrity, whatever, buy your way to the stars kind of who's who of who so cares in outer space energy. Yeah. I don't know why we can't find this name. I've looked at
this. I know. I was like, maybe they're embarrassed
like,
by it. And they
like,
buried
did I fever dream?
They shout it in the video that Blue Origin posted. They're like, okay, ladies, on the count of three. And then they do their little 1, 2, 3. Women in STEM.
It's a woman's world, and we're lucky to be living.
I mean,
in
honestly,
it.
Just iconically disastrous all around. Because yeah, Katy Perry just continues to step in it, where she's like, "Oh my gosh, like, this wasn't about me. I'm not going to sing my song. I sang 'What a Wonderful World.'" It's like, okay, thank you so much for your contribution. And then in the same breath of "It's not about me," she like literally released her her tour set list in space. She like wrote it on a little figurine and held it up to the camera with her little glam smile. So if all the Katy cats want to find out what she's playing on her very underperforming tour, the set list is there for all of us plebs to see on solid earth.
Drag them. Her underperforming tour.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it's just like, I mean, yeah, this whole like 11-minute ride to space. I think the news has been against it, but now we're rightfully like, wow, this was pretty underwhelming and kind of lame and dumb. And so all of the news sites are sort of dragging them for it, except CBS Mornings, like Gayle King, whatever. Fan club, because they started spewing about how, like, oh my gosh, when they write the story of Gayle King's life, it'll say astronaut and first female crew to space. And then they started talking about how, oh yeah, I mean, maybe once a few more times up with this price could come down to about 60,000 per person. It's not for everyone, but you know, some people can work to that, some people could reach for that and dream of that. And it's like, bleh, bleh, bleh. What are we talking about here? Like, you're selling the premise of a $10 10-minute joyride to the edge of space, and for what? To hold a daisy in your hair and wink at the camera while freaking Jeff Bezos and Kim Kardashian are watching you for some reason?
Well, and never forget, Oprah was also watching. She was worried that she might be losing her best friend.
Yeah.
Like, fair enough. Well, okay, apparently that this name is impossible to find. I've been looking the whole time, can't find a damn thing. But moving on to better news, I guess.
Take up space. That's what it's called. Take up space.
Okay. And there we go. And they are taking up space.
They
and perhaps did it. Too much. Perhaps yes, too much queen. Space. Perhaps it's time to be a little bit quieter to allow some other people to take up some space.
Amazing. But yes, please continue.
But good news. The Academy, fresh off announcing that they're bringing a casting Oscar, has now finally announced that they're doing a stunt Oscar.
Oh my gosh. 100th
Academy Awards in 2 years, 3 years, whenever that is, they're launching the stunt category, which I think is so fun and will get a whole bunch of more random movies nominated that I probably don't want to have to see, but I'm now going to have to see. So
yes,
really a win for stunt directors, a loss for me, but exciting nonetheless.
Just think, your beloved Netflix movie could have made the cut, starring Chris Hemsworth. That?
Oh, Extraction?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that would have been there, maybe.
But also, this would have meant that The Fall Guy would have probably been nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, of course. But that was good. That was the best part of the show. Like, you can't argue that.
We're due for, like, some Jason Statham movies getting nominated. Yeah. Fast and the Furious movies.
Do they have parameters, or it's just anything can be nominated?
I mean, well, it's a stunt,
you know what I mean? Like, so, like, you know how like language has specific rules about how much English can be featured.
Oh, like how many stunts there have to be in order for
what is the,
like, could they nominate, like, you know, August Osage County for stunts because they had, like, the wrestling match in the living room? I don't think so. I think it's
nothing
discretionary, you know, sort of like best makeup or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, well, you know, we get to decide what is makeup. I do think that this will be interesting because I bet there are some things that are more stunty that you don't realize are stunts. And I also wonder if this is going to be something where it sort of veers towards the Oscar nominees, even if they're not. If they don't have, like, would, for example, something like Killers of the Flower Moon get a stunt nomination because, you know, it's like, oh, there's some explosions and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Or will this be going to, like,
Ant-Man,
the Expendables, you know, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, that's why I wondered if it's like, there's like rules about, oh, you have to have a dedicated stunt team that works for X amount of hours or something.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't investigate it to that level, but I'm glad you're asking hard-hitting questions.
Yeah, yeah. I just wish you'd done your homework better. That's all. But it's okay. Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. I was taking up space instead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What news do you have?
Yeah. Did you hear about the... This is not even a good story. It rattles me too. But the Weezer was a last-minute addition to the Coachella lineup. And so they were in, you know, California, LA. And one of the Weezers, I don't remember. Let's see. Let me do my research.
You're like a Weezer
the
fan,
bassist,
right?
The bassist's wife was arrested for attempted murder. So this is some LA drama. Yeah.
While she was there?
Yeah. Not at Coachella, but the weekend before. So this last weekend.
Who's murder?
So, yeah. So this is the story. And so the police were chasing a hit and run. Okay. And the LA police, they love a good chase. And so they're like circling a neighborhood, I think, over and over, like, well, we're looking for this man. So this woman comes out of her house waving a gun. And it's really unclear what's happening here, right? It's like, are you trying to catch the guy yourself? Are you mad at the police choppers overhead? Like, I don't know. It's very odd. But she comes running out and she's holding a gun and they're like, ma'am, put your gun down. And allegedly, you know, police like to lie. We haven't seen the body cam footage. Who knows? But supposedly she pointed the gun at them then. And so they shot her. And so
they shot her.
She was shot by the LAPD. She didn't die. She's quote unquote fine. Okay. Because I think she went to the Coachella set because she was released on bail, like $1 million bond. Right. And so they paid it. She's out of jail. This all is going to sort out like what's happening. But so basically, yeah, it was like weird because Weezer was sort of this last minute addition. And then suddenly the main story around this isn't that, oh, they're in Coachella. It's, oh, your wife was just shot by the LAPD.
Wait, and but then she was arrested, even though she was the one who got shot?
Well, she was arrested because they're charging her with attempted murder.
But because she didn't shoot anybody. She just held a gun.
I know, but she pointed the gun or something.
The officers ordered Lauren
to
drop
the handgun numerous times. She refused. And then she pointed the gun at the officers, prompting them to shoot her. She then went back into her house before emerging waving the white flag. Hat. And so then
you just had a white flag wandering around?
No, but she came out without a gun and was like, I'm sorry, like, help me. It was a non-life-threatening gunshot wound.
I guess I'm not a legal scholar, but I feel like aiming a gun at somebody and not shooting the gun does not count as attempted
murder.
Well,
it's the freaking LAPD. They are aggressive, okay?
Right, but I'm just saying in general. If I showed up at your apartment, if I was in your apartment.
Yeah, and you point a gun at me, I'm getting you arrested.
Well, okay,
attempted murder.
If I have like a knife and I'm sort of like holding a knife near you.
Waved it at me and tried to slash at me, then yeah, I think that's attempted murder.
Well, yeah, no. If I go to try to stab you and miss. Well, so
that's what a gun is. She was waving a gun and she pointed it.
But she didn't fire it at them. See, I think in order for it to be attempted murder, you have to fire.
But
I don't think
there's
you can just
an attempt.
Hold
a
gun.
Listen, she didn't this shoot probably it. Won't. This probably she'll probably get. You know, she'll probably be. She'll probably be forgiven because, like,
I'm
she'll probably
her.
Be found not guilty because of people like you. You're
Weezer
the jury
wife.
Pool.
I'm team Weezer
and so,
wife.
Yeah, so
she was just holding a gun
it's
nonchalantly,
just a charge.
Got shot, yeah. And then she's the one getting arrested.
I mean, this
crazy.
Is a. I mean, I'm team. Maybe people shouldn't have guns to just wave around willy-nilly
sure.
whatever they want.
Yes. Okay. Agreed.
Maybe guns shouldn't be so readily available for just random
sure.
millionaires to
but
come trotting
let's
out
say you have
and join
one.
The fun.
Let's say you have one. You know, if you have one that's not attempted murder, that's holding. Like maybe what you get arrested for, like possession or something. But this
no,
attempted
I think
murder.
They slammed a book at her. You know, they had to justify why they shot someone. So they're like,
well, yeah, okay. So this feels shady boots.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, yeah, she's already out. She paid her $1 million bond. She went to Coachella. Weezer did the set. They did not mention it. And life goes on, you know? I guess we'll see.
Really, she took a bullet and they didn't even give her a shout out.
I know. Set. I know, right? It's like, wow. I want to know her story because I'm fascinated at what she thought she was doing. Like,
yeah, I'm like, let's actually stay on this one.
Yeah.
Cause
maybe it was unrelated. Maybe there was a mental health crisis that just happened to line up with this hit and run chase happening in her neighborhood. And, you know, mentally she probably shouldn't have a gun if that's the case, but she probably shouldn't have a gun period if she's willing to just like run out and be like, hey, I'm going to catch this guy too. I don't know. And they didn't catch the hit and run. So it was all in all a pretty classic use of LAPD resources.
Now, does the LAPD, do they operate in Pasadena or do you have your own police department? Going back to the suburbs conversation.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the cars we see. I imagine it's Pasadena Police Department.
Ah, interesting. Okay, so it is a suburb.
Pasadena is its own city. Okay.
Right, yes, which just happens to be a suburb of LA.
I don't know how it works. I guess there's a neighborhood that's unincorporated. What does that mean? It means that you don't exist.
It's a suburb.
It means that you don't exist. You can't like apply for schools. You're like literally oops. I don't know. It's very weird.
Now you're just saying words. Now you're talking like Katy Perry talking about it's stuff.
Unincorporated.
Unincorporated.
It's like you don't have a geography. City council. I don't know.
The alderman said something. Yeah, the square footage of the mile markers near the exit ramp. Blah, blah, blah. Coachella was this weekend. Coachella week one. Coachella always looks miserable to me. Never have I ever wanted to be there.
Never, ever.
Well, other than Beachella, but even that, it was like... Yeah, just
and it's like
terrible.
Streaming now, so it's like, what's the point?
Right. It's like, I feel like it's such a clout thing. It's just like, people go there because they want to... Like
rub
see
shoulders
and be seen.
With Timothée Chalamet.
It's like not even rub shoulders. They just want to post that they're there. You know, it's like they just want to wear their hideous outfits. And truly, like Coachella fashion has always been bad, but I feel like it's been bad in a very specific way of like, oh, that's Coachella fashion.
Yeah, it's
now
just like
I feel
fast
like
fashion,
we have devolved because the fashion is so fast and trends are so quick and micro trendy, and now we have like this fast fashion. It's like people are truly just like picking items at random and slapping them on their body, and it looks so bad. And not to be like boomer about this, but I do think that it's
like bring
we've
back
lost...
the feather headdresses.
Well, it's like we've just like lost the plot, you know what I mean? Like,
where's Vanessa
like,
when you
like
need
there
her?
Used to be such a thing as an outfit, you know, like it was cohesive, it was put together. There was a certain care for like proportions or you know, it's like
kids these days don't wear any clothes, they're just walking around naked.
not even that. I don't care if you're wearing clothes or not clothes. I'm just saying that like
the assless chaps should be matching with the top.
Well, like we just need some sort of direction, and like we're just like you almost can't tell like who is good at fashion anymore because everybody's just wearing random articles. It's
well,
like,
you
I
know what
just...
it is. It's because it's white culture. Like Coachella is is so white, and now they can't borrow like Native American inspiration. Like that was the Coachella look, the desert chic. Like, yeah, you have your Vanessa Carl, your Vanessa, what's her face?
Hudgens,
wearing some her feathers, wearing her, you know, beads. And now we can't do that. So it's like, oh, what do? We don't have a culture to copy, right? Like we can't like...
Preppy.
Yeah, that's Don't what choose. It should be. But people are like, I want to be cool. I want to look sick. And we just don't, white people just don't have that natural style. That's why we've always stolen and co-opted and, you know, taken these cultures. I'm 100% serious. And so Coachella is just the, that's what you get when you put white people in a room and say, dress yourself. And it's like, so it's borrowing elements from this and that. And it's like, oh, more skin equals more. Like, I don't know. It's like, oh, I'm being playful. I'm being playful. But it's really, yeah, like you said, it's haphazard. It's really just, just not very.
It's not very like clever. I think that the thing about fashion when it is working well is that there is like thought behind it, and it's interesting, and it's playing with references and silhouettes and colors and patterns. Fashion is very much an art form, like anything else, and I feel like what we're getting to currently is the sort of like version of people being like going to an art museum being like, I could paint that. I'm just going to splash a bunch of paint on a canvas. And it's like, and then being like, look, this is just as good as a Jackson Pollock. And it's like, no, it's actually not. Because even though Jackson Pollock like looks like it would be easy, there's something there that he understood about the colors and the movement and the whatever that like you as a layperson are not getting.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the same with this fashion, where it's like I think there are some people who are doing this sort of like hodgepodge look well, but I think lots of people are just like wearing hodgepodge clothing and it looks bad. And I feel like Coachella is slightly different than the Eras Tour, which was more like matchy-matchy in a bad way. But I think we've just like lost the plot on fashion. I'm like, people are just in general, bad at it. Yes, just in general. I'm like, people are just bad at this. Like the Bushwick people in Coachella, bad.
Yeah.
The like basics at Eras Tour, bad. It's like we...
What about Fire Island? How's Fire Island doing?
Terrible. Terrible. It's heinous. And again, it's so much like... crappy Shein stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's like you really are just desperate for the days of an H&M t-shirt. Like it's like, yeah, please bring that back. Like these Shein sort of like made out of a napkin crossbody halter top type.
And all copycats like, have nicer things. Oh, yeah. So it's like we've seen the good quality thing. So it's like we can immediately tell when something's cheap. So it's just hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no, that's not the beaded, you know, hand crocheted dress Taylor Swift wore once. That is a bad imitation of that. So now we're just thinking about how cheap that is.
Yes.
And you're not actually fooling anyone into thinking you're stylish, because we're all absorbing the same content that's inspiring you.
And at least the Taylor Swift stuff had a crafty element to it, where people were like doing sort of arts and crafts, like, oh, I'm painting things on these jeans, which is like, it's ugly, but in a way that has some effort to it, which I appreciate. The Coachella looks don't even have that. They're just like truly dumpster dived, like articles of clothing that are paired together with no cohesion or semblance.
Yeah. Well, if you look at celebrities, you know, in 5 years, everyone will just be wearing t-shirts and jeans to Coachella. Because, like, it did used to be the celebrities were going all out and making, like, the vibe. But if you look at Justin Bieber and, Timothée Chalamet, Kylie Jenner, like, all the celebrities who were at Coachella this weekend, it was less about, look what I'm wearing, and much more understated, you know, you're wearing hats, you're wearing sneakers, you're there for a good time. And so I feel like that'll just eventually trickle down, because right now we're still on that, that like sheer knit bubble skirt, like whatever goes.
Bushwick, like,
Wow, look at us, fashion mavens over here.
I know.
We have no business judging, but I still will. How is your relationship with SNL after this week?
I was gonna bring this up. I did think that this episode was good in general, but I did not like the Amy Lou Wood situation that came up, where they did a White Lotus parody with people from the Trump administration, which I think is a fun idea and was executed well for the most part, where they sort of like slotted in people from the Trump sort of, I don't know, groupies into these slots from the White Lotus. So example, like Trump's two sons, Eric and Donald Jr., were the boys with the smoothie, and Donald Trump was the Jason Isaacs character, and, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene or whoever was like the one of the women. But then for whatever reason, they inexplicably kept Amy Lou Wood's character just like as herself in this, and gave Sarah Sherman these massive fake teeth, and just like was like clearly just making fun of the of how Amy Lou Wood looks in a way that wasn't like, oh, like we're trying to, you know, get the hair right and get the teeth right kind of thing, but in a way of like, oh, these are like Halloween store false teeth, and they're just like trying to make her look stupid.
Yeah.
And so Amy Lou Wood called them out on Instagram and was like, hey, like, I just thought this, like, I thought this was really mean. I don't understand why you guys did this, especially given the context of the rest of the skit. And then SNL apologized, and it was a whole to do. And everybody was coming to the defense of Amy Lou Wood, obviously, because she's so lovely and, you know, so like singularly gorgeous, I think. And yeah, I just, it was when I watched the skit before I even saw any of this, I was like, I sort of was taken aback when they cut to her with those fake teeth. Yeah. And I was like, oh, like this, like, I don't like this vibe.
She was like, yeah, it kind of felt like punching down when the whole skit's punching up. And I think it is like, I didn't watch the skit. I just saw her reaction to it. And also, I want to apologize because on our last episode, I kept calling her Amy Lee, which is very
embarrassing, like,
very Hunger Games coded, very Sunrise on the Reaping.
Well, no, then it would be like
Amy Lee Blue or something.
Yes.
It's Amy Lou. And but yeah, I think it's fair for her to like call it out. And she wasn't like, I'm boycotting them. She was like, oh, that kind of hurt my feelings. And I think that's something she's talked about on the press tour too, is just like, yeah, I felt kind of out of place. Like, oh, they didn't want to hire me because I'm the ugly one or something like that. And that's always sad. I am curious how you feel about SNL making fun of someone's appearance compared to Gabby making fun of her ex-boyfriend, The Bachelor's dancing.
I mean, I do feel like it is a little bit of like punching up versus punching down kind of a thing. Like the fact that this random sort of douchey guy like took up dancing and looks kind of dorky when they're doing it, like, okay, I think that's slightly different.
He deserves to be humbled. Yeah.
Well, but also I think that's an action versus a like physical appearance.
She also
like,
called him a toe.
Oh, well.
And you were all Team Gabby.
I mean, and I still
insult the ex.
I mean, okay. One, I think it is slightly different when it's your ex. Like, okay, maybe you shouldn't be doing that in a public forum, but I do think that's different than going after a complete stranger.
I also think
that like picking something that's a physical feature of somebody who obviously like got a lot of, I don't know, like that has gotten a lot of attention. I don't know.
Right. She's fugly. It's like, here's a specific thing we find very unnerving or like we're obsessed over, and we're going to call it out and make fun of it. And the joke will revolve around this singular thing.
And it felt like they clearly like wanted to do a teeth joke because nothing else in the skit was like one-to-one, you know? Like the only other thing from White Lotus itself that they really made fun of was like Parker Posey's accent. But it's like, okay, well, that's a choice by Parker Posey. Like that's not her actual voice.
Yeah.
And again, it's sort of like it's supposed to be funny on the show and over-exaggerated. So it's funny and over-exaggerated on SNL.
But did you have you been following Jason Isaacs? Speaking of the White Lotus press tour.
Well, yes. So, and the supposed drama that's going on there. I also saw that there's supposedly drama between Amy Lou Wood and Walton Goggins.
Yeah, that's part of it. It's because they unfollowed each other. Which is like, normalize not following your coworkers, honestly. It's like, there's just because these people work for together doesn't mean they have to like love each other for the rest of their lives. But no, I think it's like, So they unfollowed each other, but the whole press tour has been all these people being like, just singing praises, just like basically bursting into tears and talking about how it's just like such a happy family. And if you've ever worked for a company that's like, we're like family, you better know that it's not all roses and daisies. So Jason Isaacs is the first one to kind of break rank and be like, well, yeah, it wasn't just one big happy family, and that the 7-month shoot was like, it wasn't a vacation so much as partly summer camp, partly Lord of the Flies. And so people have been like waiting for him to spill more because he keeps on like digging the hole where he like he sprinkles a little drama. And then the next time he does an interview, they ask him about that. And then he's like, oh, yeah, no. I mean, I read everything online about White Lotus and nobody's gotten it. It's not that. It's not that. And so it's like, okay, we'll keep digging because one of these days he's going to confirm what's actually going on. But it probably is just the fact that not everyone likes each other. And he was probably the one who didn't like everyone.
Well, I also think that they've said multiple times how hot it was there.
Yeah.
And like the sort of difficult conditions of filming and sweating and all of that, like just in a natural kind of way. So I think that probably made it slightly more uncomfortable just in general than, you know, filming in Italy or wherever, where it sort of looked like the weather was nice. And then also, yeah, it's like if you're stuck there for 7 months and it's coworkers, like there's gonna be some tensions between some people. I do always find it interesting though when celebrities unfollow people on Instagram, because it's like obviously somebody is gonna notice this. And also I'm always wondering, like, how much are the celebrities themselves actually running these accounts?
Right.
Like obviously Amy Lou Wood, like, she is posting things from herself on there, but then there's also things that you know she's, like, contractually obligated to post, you know, that are, like, things for movies she's in or whatever. So it's strange to me to think about, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm a celebrity, I'm pissed off at this other celebrity, I'm going to unfollow them on Instagram. It's like, just mute them. Like, if you unfollow, it's almost like you want somebody to recognize that there's drama there. And maybe you do, but but it's just, it's so, I mean, it's sort of like the Deborah Messing, who's the other woman? Nick Offerman's wife. They're on the like two women on the woman, Will and Grace, and how they supposedly hate each other. And like, and I feel like part of that had to do with like unfollowing each other on social media. Or even like, there was, whenever there's drama in like Real Housewives, they'll go and sort of like look at who's following who or who's liked whose posts recently. And it's like, oh, well, this housewife didn't like a single one of their fellow co-stars posts this year after they'd like all of their posts the year before. So like, what's going on?
Amazing. I mean, the juiciest thing Jason said was, I'm not going to break rank and say who did what, which does feel more than just, it was a long summer. Like, so there is, you know, blood in the water, and I can understand the thirst for it. Like,
because supposedly Walton Goggins and Amy Lou Wood were like extremely close during filming, and then now like aren't talking.
Drama.
Drama. I guess the only other sort of like big news that we got is we finally got the reveal on a bunch of these people in the Harry Potter TV series.
Oh my gosh. Yet again, I did not see this anywhere. I forgot to check my Google settings to see if I muted it. Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of people that we already knew, like John Lithgow's playing Dumbledore.
Okay.
The guy from I May Destroy You, who is black, is playing Snape. So that's sort of, you know, I feel like the most buzzy casting. And then some other like British actors have been cast as McGonagall, as Hagrid, as Filch, and as Quirrell. So it's just the adults who have been cast so far. And
but no one famous?
I mean, like, Janet McTeer is Professor McGonagall. Nick Frost is Hagrid. He's in Shaun of the Dead. So it's, like, people who are – they're, like, British actors, you know? And I feel like the main British actors who we all know have already been in Harry Potter. Because there's so many characters. And so it is sort of, like, a second tier of – of British actors who they're getting to fill these roles. I mean, John Lithgow isn't even British. He's American, and he's playing Dumbledore. So it's fascinating, I think, how they're, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they haven't announced the kids yet. I don't think there's a date yet for whenever this is, you know, supposedly coming out.
Wait, what's Janet McTiernan? Why do I recognize her?
Janet McTiernan is in The Menu.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Did you see this? She's also in Mission Impossible, in some of the Mission Impossible movies. Also, this article that I'm reading is saying that they are circling Cillian Murphy as possibly playing Voldemort, which I do think would be good casting, but I'm also kind of like, he feels like someone who would not like want to be involved with this. Like, he seems like so annoyed by everything as it is to be in like a, you know, multi-year show playing Voldemort feels like something that he'd be like, no.
Well, he did Batman twice, three times.
I guess that's
times.
True, but that's like Christopher Nolan and they're like besties. And I guess he did do like Peaky Blinders and stuff, but I don't know. Harry Potter just seems like a lot, but I'm sure his pay is a lot too if you're Voldemort. So
I can't
And they seem like they're struggling to get people to be in this. So
That is just a burned bridge for me officially, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't even enjoy the old books, like the classic, the original.
I thought you were reading them to Penny.
I know. And then I just, she said something else. Just like, I was like, this is gross. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, she said asexual people don't exist or something like that.
Yeah. Recently. It's like every day she has to just sit on the shitter and just tweet the worst things you can imagine saying. And for what? Like, it's just like, disgusting. So it's just really poisoned the well fully, which it probably should have a long time ago, but
I mean,
I was like, oh, I'll just read the books, like the books, you know, Death of the Author meant something to me, blah blah blah, but I don't know, it's just like,
I mean, I do like the books still do mean something to me and like the characters and such, and I think that there are like lessons from the books that I you know, like still think about, and, you know, references that are always going to be in my mind, but sort of the thought of like going back and rereading them or like rewatching the movie or, you know, sort of like in any way re-engaging with that space,
and don't recommend,
feels bad to me. I'm like, it's a, something in the past that I enjoyed and will like carry those memories, but it's not something that I need to sort of like circle back to.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
They're building a new Harry Potter park in Florida or whatever, and my siblings were talking about it, and I was like, like, I don't think that I want to go to that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, I was like, why am I introducing these to Penny? Like, why would I, like, I have my relationship with them, you know, I can
remember
them.
Well, that's what I was asking when you brought it up like 2 weeks ago. I was like, this
is
not
2 weeks ago.
I was like,
it was a while ago.
Very strange. But it was like, it wasn't like a year ago. It was like several months.
No, it was this year.
Yeah, it's like recent.
In the beginning of the year, I read the first one. But yeah, I don't know. It was like, oh, well, yeah, I think it was this idea of a final test, right? To like see if I do enjoy them at all. And I was like, no, it's just like, because I hadn't reread them since anything she's done. Like, I hadn't re-engaged with the movies or the books, but I'd always been of the mind like, oh yeah, well, they're mine. And as long as I don't spend more money on her, then I'm fine. But then I was like, yuck. So I have to find a new series to read. And
well, right Chronicles of Narnia right there with Charlie XCX possibly is starring in the movie. Get hyped. Yeah.
At least he's dead. So
I don't think he was necessarily a bad person. And I do think he was secretly gay. So that's my whole spiel on C.S. Lewis.
Oh, okay. I love to hear it.
But shall we get into Love It or Hate It?
Yeah.
Okay. You were supposed to see this movie.
I'm sorry.
And so we could discuss it together.
Yeah, but don't ruin it for me. I want to still watch it. So no spoilers.
Okay, no spoilers.
Okay, thank you.
But I saw the movie The Drop. Drop. It's just Drop. The Megan Fahey movie, which is giving crap. It's giving M. Night Shyamalan. It's giving like B grade cheap, low budget horror movie. I love Megan Fahey from White Lotus. I think that she in general is a good actor. This script is so bad. And basically the premise is this woman whose husband died, who has a kid. She decides that she wants to get back out there. And so she like is going on her first date, you know, sort of since everything happened with her husband. And she meets this man at a restaurant that's, you know, sort of like a at the top of a skyscraper kind of a situation. And while she's there, she starts getting airdrops on her phone of like photos that are, I don't know, sort of, or like messages kind of that grow increasingly alarming. And then while she's sitting there, she realizes, oh, like the somebody has her son hostage and is going to sort of give her instructions of things to do via mm-hmm. this airdrop while she's on this date with this man. Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, it sort of becomes like a trap situation where they're stuck in this restaurant and she is trying to figure out which of these people could it possibly be who is sending her these airdrops, because it has to be somebody in the restaurant, because it has to be somebody, you know, like within a certain number of feet of her. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, is it the bartender? Is it the person at the table next to her? Is it the, you know, is it her date? Who is it that's, you know, blackmailing her? And it honestly also sort of reminded me, I don't know if you saw this movie, but there was a Liam Neeson movie where they were on a plane and like there was a killer on mm-hmm. the plane and they mm-hmm. were trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. It has that sort of energy because it's like we're trapped in such a small space. The thing that I really hated about this movie is the conceit of the date. And if she had, if it had been like, oh, two friends out to dinner, and then it's sort of the two of them working together to try to figure out who in this restaurant is the bad person, I think that would have been a lot of fun. But the problem is that she's on this date, and so the whole time she has to keep pretending that nothing is going wrong because she's trying to sort of like impress this guy, but then she has to keep making excuses. And by the third time she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I have to go to the bathroom really quickly. It's like, why are we still like going on with this dating thing? And then because of that, the dialogue is so bad. And it's like every 5 minutes they have to get back to the table. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. But anyways, like, what's your favorite food? And then he's like, oh, well, I really love linguine. And then she's like, oh no, I got another drop. And so then she's like, oh, I just realized I left something in the bathroom. I've got to go back. And it's like,
no, what? I love it. I'm going to watch it. It's going to be my favorite movie of the year.
So bad. And it's, and this is another thing I feel like with people, like with movie people, and like you can, there can be such a thing as a bad movie that you have fun watching. Mm-hmm. Like, but that does not mean that it is a good movie. Like with Trap, did we enjoy Trap to a certain degree, especially in hindsight, like thinking about how goofy it is? Like, kind of. But do I think that Trap is a good movie? No. Do I think Trap is a 4 out of 5 star movie? No. And so the fact that the drop has an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like, this is laughable. Like, you can say that you enjoyed this movie, but this was a bad movie. Like, this should be rotten. And it should be like a rotten movie that you are like, but I had fun watching this anyways. It shouldn't be a...
But that's how the Rotten Tomatoes works, isn't it? It's like, this was a 3-star movie, but I still had fun with it. So then it skews really positive. That's why some people hate on the Rotten Tomatoes scoring.
I guess so, but it's like, there also should have been a lot more people who were like, oh no, this was just bad, because it was just bad. And I was like desperate to get out of the theater.
Well, why didn't you write a review? You could have been that person.
Because why didn't you pitch that? I didn't have the like time or the energy to, and I wasn't planning on writing a review of this movie because I didn't think anybody would see it or care, and I thought that it would probably be bad.
Well, there you go. The people who wanted to see it saw it. It gave them what they wanted. It's a good movie, and they celebrated it accordingly.
No, yeah, Shelley, no. I don't know why you're trying to play devil's advocate here all of a sudden.
It's like, I'm not. I'm excited about this movie. I'm ready to watch it.
With Piers Morgan.
I'm ready to watch it. I honestly, I don't know when I will, but I want to.
It's giving Lady Raven. I mean, this is a movie that you should 100% wait and watch in a plane. Like, there's no reason to watch it before that.
But I want to know. I want to know what happens.
Let me tell you, the ending's not that satisfying.
No spoilers, no spoilers. Okay, so
they're actually the whole time they're at a restaurant where they age fast.
By the end of it,
they're like children, but they're older. And then one of them has a brittle bone disease.
Tell me when you're done. No.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, so The Last of Us season 2 came out, premiered yesterday.
Yeah, I heard it was bad. Have you watched it? No, I didn't watch the first season.
Who are you talking to that said it was bad?
I feel like online, like the reviews, were they not? I saw that it was like in a sophomore slump, I believe is what the headline I saw.
I guess I haven't read reviews because reviewers get like 3 episodes or something. But I feel like this was a good first episode. I mean, it is what it is. Like to me, I've seen positive things where it's like, I mean, so you never watched The Last of Us?
No. Because I have Walking Dead fatigue, and I'm like, I can't go back. It's completely different.
It's 100,000,000% different.
Sorry. I can't be doing a zombie show where everybody dies. And like, I don't love a show where people are just dying all the time.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
And isn't that the basic plot of this? Like, every episode they meet somebody new, and then the person dies. It's like,
they kill a lot of people, and they fight a lot of zombies. But, I mean, yeah, there's some downers for sure. Yeah, there are some downers, yeah. But anyways, season 2 is out. I liked it. I mean, it was like, I like the show because.
But you've only seen the premiere, yes?
Yeah. I've only seen the first episode of season 2. But I think what I liked about this first episode is that it was more like it's recentering on the characters. So it's less about zombies and more it's about these humans and like how they're reacting to really human situations, because right now it's set up 5 years after the first season. They've been established in this like safe haven, this community, and so it's like it's like they're preparing for a New Year's Eve party. Like, there's a sense of normalcy, even though we know like how things ended last season, which kind of saw the two leads at odds with each other. They kind of there's a distance there and he can't cross it. But no, I mean, I really like him as an actor, so he's really compelling to watch. She is definitely annoying in a way that was more forgivable when you thought she was 13, but now she's 19 and you're like, oh, you're kind of the worst kid to have around in an apocalypse. But I think that's just that I'm curious to see how it goes. I've read a little bit of spoilers from the game, so I kind of know some things to expect. And yeah, I'm curious to see how it goes. But
this review in Vanity Fair says, The Last of Us enters its sophomore slump. HBO's blockbuster zombie show is starting to feel too much like another series. And then if you read in the article, the other series that they say it's too much like is The Walking Dead.
I never watched The Walking Dead, so we'll have the opposite problem.
Okay.
Well, anyways, the point is it started again and I enjoyed it. And I don't know. I'm just reminding people who maybe liked the first season that it's now out again. So congrats.
Okay. I think Hacks is now out again too. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of, Robbie Hoffman is in it. Gabby's wife.
Yes.
So have you
seen it? I've seen all of this season, yes.
And did you appreciate her humor? Did you like her? Did you see the vibes?
I think I found her annoying.
Yeah.
Mostly.
That's what I told
you. I'm like, this, honestly, that gave me more pause in the whole Gabby Windy situation than saying her boyfriend was a toe or whatever. Yeah. Just because I was sort of like, I don't think that I could spend that much time with Robbie Hoffman. And the fact that Gabby is like married to her feels like a little bit of, I don't know. Like,
right. It's like, you are the company you keep. So what is this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know what else I realized is that Robbie Hoffman, I told you about her podcast and how she and her podcast host were at odds. That podcast host is no longer a part of it. It's just Robbie Hoffman and guests. And there was no explanation about it. They like took a hiatus. And then when they came back, it was just her. And So yeah, I haven't been able to dig in to see if there was something talked about when they relaunched it or if she's just ignoring it. But yeah, I guess it's just their little...
I mean, I will say sometimes there are really lovely people who end up married to sort of monsters. I mean, like, I feel like Rob is a perfect example of this.
No, he's not a monster.
No, I'm saying he married the monster.
No.
Rob is the good one. And Rob married sort of the Robbie Hoffman of the Mormon community, yeah. If I have to say. I jest.
It's okay.
She is good in the role, I think, though.
Oh, yeah.
She plays the assistant to, like, the new assistant to Megan Stalter's character and Paul W. Down's character. And so now they're sort of like a trio of them. And I think they have a very funny energy, the three of them together. Mm. So I did like her in this. And obviously she's playing a character, so maybe she's not exactly like that in real life. But
yeah, one could hope.
Okay, well, we will be back on Thursday to discuss the new Hunger Games book that has come out. I need to finish reading it. Shelby has already read it.
Yes. Sunrise Shelby, on Weeping.
Noted Hunger Games lover.
Yes.
Me, I also like the Hunger Games. However, these freaking Covey names are making me want to claw my eyes out. If I have to read another
Matt.
Tam Amber, I will drag.
Matt Periwinkle.
Ugh,
fruit it's basket. Like,
it's like, what? The thing that's...
a food and a color, right?
No. If you paid attention to the reading, Shelby, you would know that it is a name from one of their songs. So it's like poem-related name and then a color.
Jolene Red.
Right, exactly. Which, like, I get that as a naming construct, and I get sometimes calling them Jolene Red. What I don't get is that every single time we mention any of them, we have to use both of their first names, which feels so unnatural to me.
It's like Amy Lou. It's like Amy Lou.
Yeah, I guess. But like we as people who don't know Amy Lou Wood are referring to her as Amy Lou Wood because it's like, oh yeah, she's a famous person. I think that probably her friends are not calling her Amy Lou.
I think that's her name. I think people would call her Amy Lou, right?
Right, but my name is Matthew, and I don't only go by Matthew. You
but
know what
I'm
mean?
Saying people who have two first names, it's usually like, oh, Mary Kate. Like, it's like, that's their name. It's not Mary, middle name Kate.
I guess that's true with, like, Mary Kate, but I think that... But I think even then you, like, I know people who are like, oh, I go by MK or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think you just want I think that
this
in everyday conversation,
to make it
you
easier.
Are not calling them Lucy Gray. You know what I mean?
Lucy
like,
Gray calling, isn't even that long of a name.
No, but you're calling her Lucy. You're calling her Luce. You're calling her something else that's shorter.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have to hear about Lenore Dove, and that's like...
Well, maybe
every single time her name is used.
They have so little that they can hold as their own that they really honor people's names and they don't shorten it to nicknames. You know, that's just, that is the culture of Penn.
Of the Covey.
Yeah.
Of the Covey.
Yeah.
The Covey culture.
Yeah. But anyways, we can talk about it more on Thursdays.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Full breakdown.
Once I see if Lenore Dove dies or not, which I have a strong suspicion that she will. So, yes, I'm excited to see who survives. I think Haymitch lives.
Yeah, I don't know.
But slightly unclear because they've already cloned one person in the book. So we could be getting a Haymitch clone at some point that's who Katniss has to deal with.
That would be amazing.
Because he is an alcoholic in the books.
Yeah.
And he's not really drinking.
Yeah, he's drinking the polyjuice potion. That's what.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. All he's mad-eye mooding. Mad-eye moodying his way through this game. Okay, yes. So anybody... if you want to read the book, you can read the book before Thursday. If you don't want to read the book and you just want our sort of like rambling synopsis of it, we'll also give you that.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I've been practicing.
Yes. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back then. Bye.